So that's what's happening in our news today. Now to Insight, which tonight is a pre-recorded, abbreviated edition, so we will not be taking your calls. Well, many professional athletes have been testing positive for COVID, and it has definitely put a crink in our sports world. What we watch, the players that we see on the field and on the ice and on the court. Tonight, we're talking about how the Omicron variant is having an impact on sports teams, sports facilities, college teams, even fans. Joining us tonight is David Steele. David is a longtime award-winning journalist and author of Silent Gesture, the autobiography of Tommy Smith. David, thank you so much, as usual, for joining us tonight.
Hey, it is my pleasure, Bramante. Thanks for having me on.
David, let's talk about what's happening. I mean, we can go, as I mentioned in the opening, from college to pros, from the NFL to the NHL to the NBA. We see bowl games being canceled. We see star players having to sit out. We see coaches missing games. Are you surprised at what's happening, and what's been the impact, in your opinion, of this latest variant of COVID-19?
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure if surprised is the word, because I ever since last year, even though we moved it to another sort of evolution of this, because since last year we've got a vaccine available, but we've sort of seen how these leagues, how teams and how individuals have operated within all of this. And so in that sense, I haven't been surprised by the number of cancellations, because we saw a lot of those last year, and the way the players have handled it, we saw evidence of that last year as well. And the same thing with individual team by team situations. And yet within that, because of all the different things that, one, the vaccine, and two, this current variant has sort of wreaked havoc on just everybody across American society and around the world. Yeah, I am surprised, because I think everybody thought last year that we would not be going through this again this year. And yet, you know, again, we're watching bowl games get canceled. We're watching, you know, entire teams pull up. We're watching individuals being unable to play. That's just on the college level, certainly in college football. College basketball games being canceled again. The NFL schedule getting all the way into December, then all of a sudden games are being shuffled and moved around to different dates. Or, you know, here in Washington, the football team played another game on a Tuesday night. It was an important game with great playoff implications. And again, it was the COVID protocols and the players available affected that. Basketball on Christmas Day, that's what it's probably hit us the most, because for the first time in my memory, certainly my adult memory, I pay almost no attention to the all-day marathon of NBA games, because the overwhelming majority of players that, you know, the NBA meticulously set their schedule up to showcase on Christmas Day, they didn't play. I didn't watch any of the Nets. I didn't watch any of the Knicks and the Hawks. There's just game after game after game. I just lost interest, because, you know, there was nothing to watch. And, you know, that's just one of the many impacts, you know, the quality of play, the availability of players, the decisions of these players and teams at least having extreme consequences on everything across the board in ways that are very similar to last year, but also have a really bizarre twist that I think a lot of people really can't sort of wrap their heads around.
Now, David, you made a very interesting point. You know, you're a longtime fan, you're a longtime sports journalist, and you were saying that I kind of lost interest because of what was happening. Do you think that is a worry, especially among the professional teams, that they may lose fans? I mean, you know, many of us could go, could the NFL ever really lose any fans? But do you think that is an issue, that especially if you have enough star players that are out, that these leagues are concerned about that?
I think they're very concerned about it. And I think that what, you know, based on what we saw with what the CDC decided about the quarantine time and the, you know, when you're able to make yourself available again, you know, I don't want to cast aspersions on the CDC out here. I'm sure there are people who are much more qualified to analyze the way they make their moves. But that's a big benefit to every professional sports league because they're looking at that and saying, well, I wish they had put this in a month ago, 2 months ago, you know, 6 months ago, or something like that. Or maybe maybe what happened on Christmas wouldn't have happened. What happened in the NFL these last 2 weeks might not have happened. Maybe some of these situations where, you know, players are missing two games because they're missing a Sunday and a Thursday, wouldn't have happened. Aaron Rodgers missing games. Just the biggest players are at the highest levels of every pro sport, you know, they're missing games, you know, and they're taken away. You're right. It's the NFL. NFL's never really going to miss viewers or ever going to lose viewers, but, you know, people are going to notice the quality of play and they're going to tune out. I mean, what's going to happen when the playoffs start? And people know that playoff, you know, position and seating and where teams are and why they're there was greatly affected by how many starters missed X number of games, whether a game was lost or won because one team had no players. The Ravens may miss the playoffs because they had no players last Sunday in Cincinnati, basically. And they got run off the field.
What, Josh Johnson, wasn't that like the second or third team he's played with like in 3 weeks?
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
He's played for like 13 teams, David.
Yes.
I mean, that's another story. I know I'm sort of getting off point. But still, you know, you've got a guy.
Look at how NFL teams are signing players. Look at how the NBA, like with the NHL, they changed their rules in midstream where they said, oh, you can now have like literally an additional taxi squad of people you can call up. The NBA is calling up players from the G League. They're calling players out of retirement. I mean, they're putting those players in a danger as well, which is really
crazy. Right. And when you use the term taxi squad, I mean, I got to be honest, I don't think I've heard that term since like the 70s in the NFL, George Allen. Right. I know we're dating ourselves. But I wanted to get to this point too, David. Bob Costas recently had said that he believes that at some point what you're going to see with these teams is that if a player is fully vaccinated and has the booster shot, and as he termed it, is young, healthy, and is fit, but tests positive, but is asymptomatic or just has mild symptoms, that eventually what's going to happen with these leagues is that they're going to allow these players to play because that's the only way they're going to be able to get a handle on this and allow these games to keep going because right now it's so kind of helter-skelter. Do you see any credence in that position that Costas has presented?
I think that things are starting to turn in that direction. I really do. And I could see teams and leagues and sports adopting that and adapting to it both very soon. Because, again, the stakes are so high. I mean, the playoffs start in, I think, 3 weeks. The Super Bowl is a little more than a month away. Baseball training camps are only a couple of months away. And I think that we're going to start seeing it because they're going to start adjusting to the possibility that, and it may be more than a possibility at this point, that COVID is not going to be really slowed down into any substantial amount. I think that they're going to sort of adjust their approach to it, probably not based on real science or exactly how infectious or airborne this thing is, but on how quickly they can get players back and how much they can reduce the chances of players missing time and missing games and missing important things. And what's probably going to drive that even more is that the public is probably going to demand it because we're seeing that sort of in the general public, but we're also seeing that in the viewing audience because they're going to start seeing numbers falling and they're going to hear the clamor of fans who are not going to put up with a lesser product or an invisible product because of space. Let's remember last year, there was sort of a nationwide freakout over this big absence of sports until the NBA bubble came back and until the NFL season started and all that. And I think all these leagues are looking at this and saying, we don't want to go through that again.
Let's talk about college. As you mentioned earlier in the show, these bowl games that are being canceled, Boise State, they pulled out of the Arizona Bowl due to COVID issues, the Military Bowl. Do I have that right? The Boston College pulled out, or either they canceled it. So you're dealing with a different dynamic now, right, when you're talking about colleges and college students and college players. Are you surprised that these bowls are being canceled? But because, again, we're talking about financial and health. But obviously the health was taking precedent over the financial, which we all believe should happen. I've got to say, I was actually a bit surprised that these bowls were canceled. Were you?
I was. Yeah, I was. I thought that, again, you know, a year later, you know, after circumstances, it certainly changed that. There wouldn't be a situation where they would either one, they would decide to cancel games, but two, that you know the schools themselves would take the initiative and say, we're just not going to go. We're just going to keep our people here. We're going to take care of that. We're going to protect them. And I think a lot of that is reflected on the fact that they're seeing what's going on their campuses, where campuses are closing down. They're going all virtual. They're sending everybody home. You know, they're already making plans for next semester, not having students on campus. Again, kind of a repeat of last year. And I think it's sort of a reminder to everybody when we all say that money talks and that's the first priority. And we obviously see that on the pro level. And we certainly know that runs things at the highest levels of college sports. But sure. When you really break it down to its core essentials, you know, money is not trumping, you know, the players' health and safety, and the few things that the actual schools take responsibility for. And so they shut these things down, and these bowls and these organizations basically have to eat it. You know, these bowls are they're just out of luck. We're not going to play you this year. You're not going to get that check. The schools are not going to get the checks that they get for playing in these things. And they're willing to live by that. And that just sort of tells you that they're as concerned about how dangerous this is as anybody else. And it's a little bit refreshing, honestly. As much as you like the whole marathon of bowl games, you know, every year you'll mindlessly turn on and get yourself engaged in, you're really kind of fine with not seeing these games because, you know they're actually prioritizing safety over money.
Now, I will tell you that a lot of folks gave the Brooklyn Nets top brass a lot of credit for the position that they took with Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving is against being vaccinated. They knew that he would be allowed to play in certain cities that didn't have mandates that you had to be vaccinated to play in the arena. But the Nets brass at the top of the season said, nope, you know, we don't want this halfway thing where he can play some games but not practice with us. Either you're all in or you're not. Well, David, as you know, that has changed. The Nets now say, oh, well, hey, we'll take what we can get. And we'll let you play in the games in which those mandates aren't put in place in cities. So we'll take what we can get from you, even if it's half of that. Tell me what you believe that is about.
Well, I set you up there. just pitch that one right down the middle, I know. Right. I know I'm going to get this saying wrong, but the basic theme of it is your morals are only as good as your options. Mm-hmm. And the Nets are basically looking and saying, well, this thing hit us like it's hit everything and everybody else in this league. We're down to like 7 healthy players or whatever. You know, Kevin Durant is missing games. James Harden is missing games. You know, the important players on this team are missing games. You know, we have a championship at stake. We're like everybody else signing players from off the street. Hey, maybe we can be a little more flexible and understanding and broad-minded about this player who we drew a line against. Maybe we can erase that line now and give him a little more room to sort of tiptoe across and be available for, you know, now half the games instead of none of the games. And again, I think this is kind of a microcosm of what we might see in a lot of teams and a lot of leagues. I think that people are going to be adjusting these things on the fly because the reality is telling them that, you know, drawing that line, which seems so reasonable and logical and, and admirable in so many ways, is going to cost them a lot. It's going to cost them revenue. It's going to cost them attendance, viewership, and a possible chance at a championship. And then all of a sudden, they suddenly seem more open to listening to somebody that they had made a very clear decision about. And all of a sudden, that decision doesn't seem as clear anymore.
Is there any difference between what they're doing with Kyrie Irving and the position that the Green Bay Packers took with Aaron Rodgers? The Packers knew Aaron Rodgers was not vaccinated. Rodgers said that he was immune. The Packers got just basically a slap on the wrist with a fine. But did they take the same position of saying, okay, we know this guy's not vaccinated, but we want to win. We're going to let him play. Is their situation any different?
It really isn't. No, I mean, I think that, it, you know, we're seeing once again that your value to the, you know, to the franchise is going to dictate how they're going to approach you. I mean, I think they kind of, you know, moved the goalposts a lot when it came to Aaron Rodgers, and then with other players, they left it at it as is. I mean, another example of that is down in Tampa with Antonio Brown and his suspension that he served for, what they phrased differently, but what basically is they turned in a fake vaccination card that was involved in vaccination. Mm-hmm. There were three players on that team that were disciplined by the league for that. Best of my knowledge, the only one who played when the suspension was over was the number one receiver who they not only need just in general to win, but who they need even more because their other two top wide receivers are injured and unavailable. All of a sudden, they feel like they have a little room to find a way to get Antonio Brown back on the field, just the way the Packers had room to, you know, sort of work their way around, you know, their unvaccinated player who is the one and only key to their chances of winning a Super Bowl. You know, this is the way of the world. I mean, we talked a lot last year about how the world was going to change, you know, for a lot of different reasons, but how COVID was going to change everything. I'm not totally sure, you know, top to bottom across the board, whether COVID has really changed that much. You know, the people certainly have not changed. The way they're approaching COVID is what's changing.
David, do you think COVID will cost any coach their job?
I can see that happening. I think that, you know, there's going to be, you know, situations where they're going to look at the bottom line, you know, look at the results and say, well, you know, this was something everybody had to deal with. Sorry you lost players. Sorry that you lost them at a bad time. You know, goodbye. You didn't get it done. Some other team, some other coach, some other group of players got it done, and you didn't. And again, this is, you know, I really honestly wonder how a lot of this is going to be viewed. I mean, we talk a lot about asterisks on seasons and accomplishments and players and victories and things like that. We talked about the Dodgers. You know, do people really recognize their World Series from, you know, a year ago? You know, because it was a truncated season, so a COVID-shortened season. Apparently not. It's still, you know, on the record books as they're the world champs. But if some, you know, teams that are going to lose, that are going to miss the playoffs, that, you know, that may be viewed as the last straw for a particular coach or player or something like that, we could see, you know, teams and head owners say, that's not a good enough excuse. You're gone. I could absolutely see it. This is going to, you know, this thing is going to alter people's lives, their careers, the course of what's happening in their careers.
David, we've got about 2 minutes left, and so I'm not going to let you go without asking this. This is non-COVID. Now we're just going straight down the sports line here. You saw that game Sunday night from Dallas. David Steele, what was that we saw? What
disaster,
was that?
Nightmare.
What was that?
Complete abomination.
And I mean this, that the football team, yes, they were racked by issues of COVID. Tragedy with one of their players, with a person in a car he was driving who lost their life. Was it shocking or should we not be that surprised by the local football team's performance?
I try to give as much benefit of the doubt, and I think a lot of people are trying to do the same thing. The fact that they had the short week, again, COVID-related, so they missed a bunch of players, they were coming back. But no, for a loss, yes. For an ugly loss, yeah. That went beyond ugly. That was calls everybody and everything into question. That literally should not have happened.
Yeah. I just wanted to be sure. I mean, it's 56-14. I think the 42-7, that score is probably worse at halftime. But as they say, that's why they play the games, and we'll see another one on Sunday. He is David Steele, longtime award-winning journalist and author of Silent Gesture, the autobiography of Tommy Smith. If you have not read that book, you need to go out and buy it. Again, Silent Gesture, the autobiography of Tommy Smith. If you don't know who Tommy Smith is, time to read the book. Tommy Smith on the podium, 68 Olympics in Mexico City. He and John Carlos, fist in the air with the black gloves. You got the image? David's got the book. David, thank you so much. As usual, always great to talk to you.
Thanks very much, Bramante. Thanks for having me.
That's the Daily Drum for this Tuesday, December 28th. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. The original Quiet Storm is next on 96.3 WHUR. Have a great night.